Okay. All right. Will all board members please take their seats? We're ready for the National Finance Committee report. The break is over. Okay. All right. So, Jamie, I'm handing it over to you.
Okay, thanks. So when everybody comes back, we can start.
Come on, board members. It's time to start. Hello? Can somebody go get them and get them to sit down? All right, Jamie, why don't you start? And
okay, I'd like to do the National Finance Committee report for this PNB meeting. My name's Jamie Ross. I'm chair of this year's version of the National Finance Committee. First thing off, I'd like to thank the other members of the committee who we've worked well so far this year. I'd like to thank Susan and Sherry and Grace, and also the treasurers, in particular Brian Edwards Teeker here from KPFA, who's been an excellent member of our committee, works hard, provides a lot of good information. Also Summer Reese, Alberto Luera, and R. Paul Martin, and also Campbell Johnson, who's been serving from WPFW. And I'd also like to thank LaVarne Williams, who as CFO is perhaps the most important member of our committee. Just a brief update about what we've done so far. This year, we've had four meetings since the PNB meeting in January, if my count is correct. We've reviewed finances several times. We've requested revised cash flows from the stations based on the lower than expected fund drive results in the winter drive. And most of the stations have responded. We have set up an emergency cash working group, which was the initiative of Susan Young to deal with issues of what are we going to do if we don't have money to pay bills, which seems like something that we do need to worry about, do need to get ready for. And the work of that working group, I believe, is going to come out in the strategic plan issue and other points of this meeting. What I would like to do now is run through a quick presentation just to expound upon the points that LaVarne made yesterday, to make sure that the board is up to speed on where the where all our stations stand after 6 months in fiscal year 09. I'd like to remind everyone that last year at budget making time, our goal was to cut costs to make realistic budgets, because last year most of the units did not make their budgets and they left us with severe cash crunch at the end of the year. We actually wound up having to go out and borrow $300,000. We didn't want to go through that this year, so we asked all the general managers when making their budgets to cut costs, to reduce staff, which is basically where Pacifica stations can cut costs. And now we need to see whether these efforts have borne fruit, whether we've been able to operate in a sustainable manner so far this year, or whether we still have problems. So what I'd like to do quickly is to walk through all the units and, so we can see where everyone stands. Let's see here. Okay. The first slide shows some extracted numbers for the consolidated report. First of all, I should say that this information comes from income statements and cash reports that have been prepared by the National Office, LaVarne Williams, and the finance staff, and also the business managers at the stations. We recently got a lot of information for which we're very thankful, and the NFC, we had a good meeting, our last meeting we felt confident we did have a good understanding of where things stand. So far, as of March 31st, the entire network for the fiscal year has an operating surplus of $192,000. However, that sounds good, but it's short in reference to the budget, which called for us at this point in time to have a surplus of about $700,000. So we're short by about $500,000. Most of that shortfall comes from revenue. Revenue consolidated is short by $478,000. Also, the other problem that's causing this shortfall is salaries and related are over by about $300,000. Some of this is due to the fact that stations did make salary cuts, but they didn't make them as soon as the budgets thought that they should. So there's an overage there, and at least one station has not made the budgeted salary cuts, staff cuts yet. And the last number is $1.5 million in unrestricted cash as of March 31. Okay, so then I'll go through the five stations. The first one is KPFA, our hosts. Okay, KPFA is actually, in a sense, is the strongest station in the network. It has the largest cash reserves. However, for fiscal year 09, they're running a large deficit through the first 6 months, $240,000. And the budget actually calls for KPFA to have a surplus at this time of the year, so the shortfall with regard to the budget is $340,000. This is driven in part by a shortfall in the donations income line of $178,000. Also, there's an issue with the CPB money. It's not clear whether this is a real shortfall or this is some kind of a reporting shortfall of $64,000. The KPFA treasurer, Brian, is going to look into this. If it's an artifact of some kind, it will make the total deficit, the real deficit, smaller. Another issue at KPFA is total salaries are over budget by $173,000. My understanding is that the budgeted staff cuts have not yet been made, or they've not all been made. One good point, KPFA just recently had an unbudgeted drive in April, so it doesn't show up in the first 6 months, that drew $60,000 in one day. Also, KPFA has $560,000 unrestricted in the bank that has the largest reserves in the largest cash reserves in the network. We should also point out that KPFA also has a $400,000 account that they do not have access now because it serves as collateral for the loan that we had to take last year. The last point I'll make here is that if KPFA continues to run a deficit in this manner, it will diminish this station's reserves, which would be we don't want to do that. Okay, so moving on to the next station, KPFK. KPFK is the one station that's actually running ahead of budget after 6 months. The income statement shows a $345,000 surplus, and that's $90,000 ahead of the budget, which called for a surplus at this point in time. Listener support's doing very well at KPFA, ahead by $200,000. KPFK has managed to repay some of its debt to the national office and plans to repay $240,000 in the remainder of this fiscal year. We've seen a cash flow that shows how they're going to do that. One downside is that one reason KPFK has managed to do so well in listener support is that they have extended their drives beyond what they had planned to do. National Finance Committee views this as something we really need to keep our eye on. You certainly can make more money if you extend drives, but it's a diminishing returns kind of a thing. And after a certain point, you really cannot make any more money. So if the money per day is not what it used to be, we don't like to see stations respond to that by extending drives, because it basically that just kind of masks an underlying weakness. And KPFK has $300,000 unrestricted in the bank. The cash flow that we saw, they say the plan to end the fiscal year with $26,000 in the bank. That's because they're going to give a lot back to the national office debts that they'd run up in the past year. So if KPFK continues to do well with its fund drives, it should be okay. And the hope is that next year, if they've repaid their debt, then they will focus on building up their own cash reserves. Okay, next station is KPFT. KPFT has a small surplus, $20,000. However, this is $37,000 behind what the budget expects. The budget expects a larger surplus at this point in the year. KPFT is listener support is short by $100,000. Their fund drives are not doing as well as hoped. One thing they've done well at KPFT is keep expenses below the budget by $55,000. KPFT has $272,000 unrestricted in the bank and plans to end the fiscal year with about $200,000 in the bank. So they also, like KPFA, KPFT has cash reserves that they can draw on that have been built up by savings in previous years. However, just like at the other stations, if the drives continue to fall short, it will cut into KPFT's reserves, and at some point they won't have anything to fall back on. Okay. Your next station is WBAI. At this point in the year, the income statement shows a $218,000 deficit, operating deficit. This is $281,000 off of the budget. The budget expects a $60,000 surplus at this point in the year. The key drivers for this deficit are revenues are short by $226,000. That's largely fund drives coming in short of goal. Also, salary and related is over budget by $119,000. A lot of this overage is because of two factors which have finished. The first is that the staff cuts, which were made at WBAI, were not made on October 1st, so we overspent for the first month and a half. And also, we paid back a raise that was due in last year. We paid it out of this year, so that's some of that overage. BAI actually really has no real reserve to speak of. We had $43,000 unrestricted in the bank on March 31. You know, BAI is problematic. The cash flows that we've seen, both one that LaVarne and I worked up and also one that came from BAI's managers, Tony Riddle and Indra Hardat, they both show us not being able to pay back bills and make central service payments and come out without negative cash. You know, cash flow at BAI is going to continue to be an issue. And you all know about one thing BAI has, the way BAI has responded to the problems, to the cash flow problems, is non-payment of rent and non-payment of central services, which is not a tenable solution, but that's what the station has had to do for the want of cash. Some central services have been paid this year, but not the full complement. Also, another problem we can look forward to is the budget called for BAI's rent to go down starting April 1st. The office space would be cut in half, and we would give back half the space to the landlord and only pay rent on the half that we hold. However, that plan, that has not gone into effect yet. It's not clear whether it will throughout this fiscal year. If that doesn't go into effect for the remainder of the fiscal year, that's going to be $90,000 shortfall with regard to the budget. So that's another issue there. BAI did make a little extra money in April than planned. They extended their April one-day drive to 3 days. However, BAI does so many days in fund drive, it's very difficult to see the station making up for the shortfall in listener support by extending drives anymore. In fiscal 08, we did 116 days. In fiscal 09, we're on track to do 100 days, which, you know, all of the NFC feels is an unsupportable way to do business. However, BAI really has no other option to turn to for funds, so that's what it does. Let's see, the last station is WPFW. WPFW also has financial issues this year. After 6 months, it has a $43,000 deficit, and it's $161,000 behind what the budget expects to be. The budget expects there to be a surplus at this point in the year. Key drivers of this deficit are revenues are off by $217,000. That's both fund drives have been short, and also the budget expected PFW's community event to have brought in more income. That's by this point in the year. That's the famous duck race, which we actually had a lot of laughs on the NFC call about. But but it hasn't brought in, at least the revenue from the duck pit race hasn't been booked the way that the budget called for it to be. So that's another driver there in the revenue shortfall. Also, they have an issue at PFW that vexed many stations in the network last year and previous year, was unbudgeted legal expenses. That's a $70,000 expense that's not budgeted. And they've saved money in other expense areas. Let's see. And PFW has $182,000 unrestricted in the bank as of March 31. WPFW also throughout the years has been diligent in saving a little money every year, so they do have a cash reserve. But if they run deficits of this magnitude, that will be gone soon. So hopefully we'd like to see that situation turned around. Let's see. National office. The national office is a little different from the stations. The income income for the stations in the income statements is actual real income. However, income in the national office is not necessarily real income. We book central. It's accrued income. It's not cash. The issue is we book central service payments to national office from places like BAI that don't always make them. So the surplus at national office in the income statement is actually more than what the cash shows. But anyway, the income, with that caveat, the income shows a large surplus in the national office, $300,000. Part of this is due to an unbudgeted mail drop that they did, which pulled in $113,000. Also, there's administrative expenses are well under budget by $173,000, including expenses for this board, which are under budget by $70,000. So, I don't know. That's partly due to we've been having cheaper meetings, and I think that might be due to the budget expected this meeting to happen in March. So, it might not be as much of a shortfall as it seems, but it's still a good thing. And let's see, national office had $131,000 unrestricted in the bank March 31st. And I believe there's one outstanding Democracy Now! Payment that has not been made. You know, national office still has issues because it doesn't get the revenue expected from WBAI. Okay, and let's see, I didn't do a separate sheet for Pacifica Radio Archives, but I will tell you that they're basically on budget according to the income statement. So thank you, Pacifica Radio Archives. And the conclusions are that four of the five stations are performing worse than what the budget calls for. And it reserves that even the healthy stations are facing reduction due to the deficit that the healthy stations, the quote healthy stations unquote, are going through, which is not a good thing. And that WBAI remains problematic with regard to cash flow and getting all its bills paid. So the upshot is that despite our cuts of last year in the budgets, that effort to bring balanced spending and income and to put us on sustainable income, sustainable footing, though it helped, we have not gotten there. We still have issues that we have last year, stations spending more than they're bringing in. So I will stop there.
Okay, thank you very much, Jamie. Questions? Okay, Ifia?
Jamie,
and then George and Leslie.
You made no reference to the income from the affiliates program?
I have it on my computer. The affiliates program is in the income statement, is folded into national office. I believe the income number through the first 6 months is 113,000, or it's 100 and something thousand. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Two questions. Why is it not expressly reported? And secondly, where does that fit in the anticipated income and contribution? I mean, I'm very concerned about the institutionalization of the affiliates program and the recognition, express recognition of the contribution that affiliates make to the well-being of the network and the foundation.
I understand there's an initiative to somehow break out the affiliate program from where it resides now in Pacifica's financial documents, which is in national office. I don't know exactly where that stands, though, so I can't answer.
Do you want to respond to that, LaVarne?
Yes. The affiliates, just a little history. When I was on the board, I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Ursula, who's the affiliates director, coordinator, she actually prepared a budget, and she wished to have it separate, and that was never done. So what we have promised is that, and particularly now that we're going, we will probably go to web-based QuickBooks, she will have a separate budget, so you can look at her budget developed, show the income, show the expenses, and that will. And then, like, PRA is actually different from national office, but the affiliates, you can, like, roll that piece into a national office, but it will be separate from the other expenses in there. So that's something that we've committed to do. It's a doable thing. It was a doable thing back then, but it wasn't done. So we'll do that. And I think, yeah, I think the affiliates income may be
115,533, which
thank
is
you. Okay, it's on there. Okay,
$5,133 over budget.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I just want to commend Jamie that, you know, he has a grasp of all these things, and I guess the accolades that you guys had given to the national office that, you know, we have these reports within time so that you can present them and people can understand what the business is about. Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. I stand corrected for accepting that. I shouldn't have done that. Next person is George.
Two questions. The figures for BAI, do they include, as already expended, the rent that was due and wasn't actually paid?
Yes, that's an excellent point, George. The income statement, which is where these numbers come from, crew expenses, so they book rent as being paid whether or not the station paid it.
Right.
So the shortfall, you know, is as if we spent all that money even though the station didn't actually spend it.
Got
okay.
It. I have a second question.
All right, sorry.
At KPFA, and this isn't really for you, I guess, but why is it that the agreed-upon cuts weren't made?
I was told that that KPFA had hoped to, run a balanced operation without making those cuts, and that they've actually realized that that's not possible, and they will be proceeding in that direction. But yeah, beyond that, I don't know.
Maybe I can just add that with the change in the board, we got a new board in January. And that a lot of those issues in terms of understanding what the direction was, I think that, you know, we're coming to understand that. And as Jamie said in talking, I guess, with Lim, they understand that that has to be made. But, you know, that's a very serious decision to make, and it needs to be reviewed by, the interim ED. So I think that all of those things are kind of like swirling right now. And also, you know, we have a foundation council.
Okay,
Leslie's
next on the stack.
Yes, I'd like to bring a motion to this body regarding financing that I hope will be fairly uncontroversial. I can hope. I hear people snickering around me, but here it is. I'm calling it motion on funds transfer to WBAI, and it reads, to show our support for WBAI's recovery, we transfer $50,000 from the $74,000 surplus in the PNB budget line to WBAI for pressing staff and or vital equipment needs. I think this show of support from the PNB for the needs that we have heard expressed here by the IED and her representatives, given that we have a surplus in our own line item, that we should make the first move to WBAI's recovery of those pressing needs. And I will immediately email this to the body.
Okay. I would rule this out of order as an unbudgeted, kind of coming from the side, unbudgeted process. And if anything, it would be sent to the Finance Committee for discussion with the CFO. I'd rather not take up board time with this. It doesn't belong in the on the board without going through the Finance Committee.
Then you're referring it to the Finance Committee.
If someone would like to move.
So moved.
Thank you.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Is there any objection to doing that? Hearing none, it will be referred to the Finance Committee. Who else is on the stack? I believe Jim was on the stack.
Jamie, I noticed that when you stated that WPFW had a $182,000 surplus in restricted funds, does that does not include the $200,000 unrestricted amount that's in the account?
This is what I got from the documents. This is basically my understanding. This is basically like how much cash you have that you can spend that's not restricted. Whether I'm not sure what accounts. I don't believe that includes the Leonard
grant. Okay.
It does not, and it also doesn't include the amount that we sent to you that you transferred from Chase. That's a $240,000 that's restricted. So that's after. The restricted cash, and might I just add out that with PFW, in terms of Jamie went over the results and how this year there's a loss, that if you compare your unrestricted cash as of March the 31st compared to September the 30th, you're like it's lower than you were on September the 30th, and of course that just reflects the results of your income statement too.
Yeah, that's an indication, of course, which should be obvious that, you know, running these sorts of deficits will cut into your reserves, which is too bad because WPFW has been diligent about maintaining its reserve throughout all these years.
Okay, Luzette and then AC.
The question is, when you talk about unrestricted money in the bank, that is money available to spend, that can be spent. Right. So how would you refer to the monies that Jim is asking about?
That's also listed in the cash report that LaVarne gave to us that I believe we can send around to the board. I don't remember the number.
I think it's in the package.
It's a pity you didn't compare where we are, not just PFW, but for all the five stations.
We have it. It's in the. I have it. If it's not in there, I have the copy here. I'll make the copy for you.
What was I going to ask?
I'm sorry.
No, I was trying to say it's a pity we weren't able to compare the position we're in now with maybe what we were a year ago. And it's important to do that because we were given a very different picture last year this time. And it would have been important for all of us to see where we were at and then decide for ourselves or ask questions about some of the pictures.
Thank you, Luzette. AC?
Matt, I just have that. We do have those reports. I think I printed out the one, the consolidated, but the other I have on files, and I'll send that out to everyone by electronic file.
In simple language, because these things throw me. So one-on-one.
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. AC?
Yeah, I want to ask LaVarne a question about the...
AC, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I just want to ask the question about the restricted fund as opposed to... Because I think Jamie had mentioned something about these funds will be drawn down based upon the vagrancies and the, but this fund that I'm talking about will never be drawn down, at least in my understanding, until after we spend it on building. So what?
That's correct.
So we have 200,000, should have 200,000, almost 400,000.
Well, we haven't received the as of March 31st, we haven't received a second.
Okay.
But we understand that the restriction or the caveat on there that required you to do a matching amount.
Oh yeah.
We were told was to be lifted.
Right, I understand.
But we haven't gotten in confirmation by email on that. If not, the challenge is still there. Jim.
Okay, good.
Right.
Okay, I saw it.
All right, are there any other...
No. I need some clarification here. A point of information. If I understand it, we had a donation of $200,000 on the basis, that's the first donation, on the basis that we had match funded it. I was of the impression that we had match funded the first $200,000. It was the second that the condition was lifted. So in effect, if we had match funded the first $200,000, we should have in our restricted account $400,000. So is that there? Because if you follow logically, the restriction was moved after the first, so in fact we should have $600,000 now.
Well, let me just tell you what we have in our general ledger right now, which is the fact, is that there's only the $200,000. There's no matching amount yet. In fact, there's a note here from our accountant, Lynn Magno, no matching amount yet, and it does not show that we have received the second $200,000. And again, and whether that's been lifted or not, we have to get that in writing, and that's something that we are waiting for.
No, let me. So the other question is, was the first $200,000 ever matched?
No.
Was it ever matched?
No, it was not matched.
See?
Okay.
Now.
All right, wait a second. Please, if you want to be on the stack.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, Jim.
We were never. It was never reported to us as LSB that the match was in. It was, in fact, reported to us that there were funds that were overages as far as the gala was concerned that were still in the account. I think that was something to the neighborhood of about $97,000 that actually counts for part of the shortfall for WPFW this year, because that money was paid out and it was never really recovered. And I think the other part to it is that based on information that I just received, that the letter from Mr. Leonard is forthcoming to lift the match on the $200,000 that's in the bank now.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to be on the stack for the Finance Committee?
Can I make two more quick comments?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. One other thing or two other things with regard to WBAI. This is something that I referred to yesterday, which compares the relative fundraising efficiency of the five stations in the recent winter drive. Which all stations reported didn't go well. And these numbers, what they are, is the money raised per day in pledges times the fulfillment rate divided by the number of days. So it's actual cash raised per day of being on air in drive. And you can see that KPFA and KPFK, though they both report having weak drives, raised $37,000 or more each day they were on the air. KPFT, which also reported a weak drive, raised about $10,000. BAI about $15,000, and PFW $19,000. So this shows the relative abilities of our five stations to raise money on air. And I just bring this up. You know, people do point out the high rent and high fixed costs of BAI as being perhaps the only cause to our financial weakness. I bring this up to point out to say that's not true. That's one of the causes, but the other big cause is that we don't bring in money on air like we should. So I will stop there.
Is that it? Thank you.
I need to just add that.
Yes.
As far as the last winter fund drive, KPFK we understood their goal was $1 million. I think that Jamie might have thinks that the goal was $1,050,000. Now, KPFK raised $1,041,000. I would say they met their drive. So, but that's just a little stickler thing that we have going about this, and because based on information that I have, but of course the budgets I have, let me tell you, it was a challenge in terms of getting the correct budget. So the other point I want to make on the CPP funding with KPFA, we believe, well, in fact, we know that the budget that was given to the analysts, the CPP funding that was given to the analysts who pulled the budget together was not what was put into the budget. I mean, what the person in the office gave him for CPP funding for this year is not what's in the budget. So that's why KPFA has a shortfall. In addition, KPFA might have an issue with CPP in terms of being underfunded because we understood the same thing happened to them last year. So that's part of the KPFA. And I think maybe one of the other stations where there's a difference in the fund in the budget and what they received, it wasn't what they were to receive was not put in a budget. A different amount was put in.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jamie, for an excellent report. LaVarne, for excellent information. It was understandable. We really appreciate it. Thank you. The next thing is I would like to introduce three people to you, if you can come up front. First, Jacqueline Jansen. Can you come up front? Melissa Breach and Ahmad Anderson. Yeah, that's good. So you can, the board can see you. Jacqueline Jansen is from the Center for Volunteer and Nonprofit Leadership. So is Melissa. Jacqueline has helped us with our search for an HR director, and our new HR director is Ahmad Anderson. And here he is. I'd like to introduce, yes, interim HR director. And I'll give you a few minutes, Jacqueline, to introduce Melissa and Ahmad.
Maybe just take the mic. No, there's the mic for, yeah, there it is. She's got it. There. Ahmad's got it. There you go.
It's okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Hi, everybody. It's such a pleasure to work with you. I'm the Director of Transition Services at the Center for Volunteer and Nonprofit Leadership, and our work at the program is to help nonprofits build capacity, governance, and volunteerism. My work in Transition Services is to support nonprofits in my efforts in professionally recruiting staff. And we had over 103 people apply for the position of interim human resource director. And of those, I personally interviewed, read all the resumes. Not all of them were appropriate, but I personally interviewed 26 people. Five got to the top, then there were three, and then there were two that I introduced to Grace. Presented Ahmad Anderson, who had not only the highest of the skills that you need for this work ahead for your national organization, but the passion that he brings to helping you in your work. So I would like to introduce Ahmad Anderson and let him tell a little bit about his background, a little bit.
Just a little bit. Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Ahmad Anderson, and I've lived in the Bay Area majority of my life. I've been involved in education and human resources and actively passionate about politics and public service for some time. I look forward to working with all of you. One thing I noticed just even now is being accessible to you. And actively listening to your concern and your thoughts in the direction in which you would like the organization to go. I need you to be successful, and it's we us together that can truly make a difference. I won't take up more of your time. I will remain for a little while. I won't be able to stay long because today is my youngest son's birthday. So I left him at the Pier 39 to join you all today, but my general manager, my wife, requires that I get home as soon as I possibly can. And I have three boys, so you can imagine the challenges there. But thank you again. I look forward to working with you, and it's a pleasure to see you and hopefully meet you all real soon.
Thank you, Ahmad. Thank you, Jacqueline.
I'd like to let Susan introduce Melissa, because she's talked with her a great deal, my colleague Melissa Breach, Director of Programs at the Center.
Okay, let me just start out and frame the issue a little bit, what I volunteered to do. I'm Susan Young from KPFT. I felt that it was very important for the board to focus on strategic planning. The general managers at the last meeting in the Pacifica Radio Archives had come up with a strategic plan. I was hoping that the board would follow through on responding to this, adding to it, whatever. On the way to the forum, we encountered our severe cash flow issues, which have appropriately taken up our first attention. And not paying bills is a big red flag, and it's something you got to cure real fast. So it's been an appropriate thing for us to put our thought process there. I also came to understand that we had disconnects on the board about what exactly was the financial information, what did it mean, how could we believe it, and what were our responsibilities in relationship to it. So I shifted gears from, you know, how do we have more off-air fundraising and some very, you know, worthwhile things that are in this document, and said we need to come to a common understanding as a board. Yesterday, we had an initial training session which went to the legal dimensions of being in a distressed financial position. And how to come up with a common framework for describing things. Melissa and I met each other over the phone. I'm very impressed with her handle on nonprofit organizations, board responsibilities, and decision making. Let me say that she is wonderful. She's not the silver bullet. No one person is the silver bullet. To expect her to be so is ridiculous. It is our opportunity today to make constructive progress in our conversation among ourselves. Melissa is the Director of Programs for the Center for Volunteer and Nonprofit Leadership, as previously described, and she has extensive background, both consulting and managing nonprofit organizations. I'm going to ask her to hang for just a moment. I helped craft the agenda, and the concept that I had would be that this strategic planning process would be an open session. I wish to raise at this time whether it makes sense to go into closed session, and I know that this is something that, frankly, I'm not happy about, and I know those in the audience would not be either. I was yesterday when we had the conversation with attorneys, the response that we got from them is that we're really very early in our conversations about our understanding as a board about what kind of the dimensions are of the problems that we're facing. And I was advised by my esteemed colleague, Otis McClay, that something that I said on the local station board at a local station board meeting was, in fact, inappropriate and could cause the foundation harm. In order to talk about where we're starting the strategic planning process, it is impossible to divorce that from where we are in terms of our financial situation. So it was not my intention to begin with, but I wish to move, and the vote is as it is, move to have this strategic planning session in executive session.
Okay. Can I just?
Sure.
I talked to Melissa about this, and I think that we can begin the process
in open session for a while. But I would also like to have Melissa give her viewpoint about this, because you know what type of process you're going to lead us through better than we do, and whether you think it's appropriate to do it in open session or closed session.
Thank you.
Is that okay?
Absolutely. That's right.
Well, I want to start by just kind of saying, I think, like many organizations that find themselves trying to operate in this economic climate, you've been having issues for a while, financial issues for a while, and what the economic climate has done is applied a huge amount of pressure that kind of like if there's a hole in the bottom of your boat and it's a little hole and it's leaking, but you start jumping up and down in the boat, the economy's jumping up and down on your boat, and so you're taking on more and more water. But I think what happens in this kind of environment is we want to be able to step back and look at what was happening from the beginning. We want to be able to articulate what we as individuals serving as governors can do about that, how we can do our job better. We want to articulate if there's a lack of clarity between roles in management. What is the role of management nationally, locally in these stations, on the governance board? And some of that can be hindered, I think, being really honest and truthful about our shortcomings can be hindered in front of an audience. So that's kind of my concern. I think the big issue is I wasn't privy to the conversation with a lawyer, so I can't comment on it. And I'm not an expert in public radio, but I am an expert in membership organizations. So what I would say is I think you'd get a better outcome. I think you would be a lot more I think you'd be able to put stuff on the table that might be a little scary to put on the table in an open session. But I also think that we could, if that's a real issue for people, you could start out in open session and kind of see where it goes. So I want to throw that out as some options.
Okay. Just also, we have received opinions from two lawyers, our interim general counsel, Ricardo DeAnda, who felt that this type of strategic planning should be done in closed session, and also John Kriegler, our FCC and CPB lawyer, who advises us on those matters, and he has been with Pacifica for 18 years. He also felt that this type of discussion should be in closed session. It's in the bylaws under the word proprietary. I think that that's a little bit of a discussion. I think we should start in open session, see how far we get, and then we'll get the sense of the board and the sense of Melissa as to which direction, when we should switch to closed session, sooner, later, whatever. If that's okay with the board, we'll just proceed in that direction, unless someone objects. Hearing no objection, let's begin the strategic planning process.
Okay, and we should say, too, that a strategic planning process for a $20 million national organization is an 8-month process to really drill down, build out core strategies, build out tactical plans, benchmarkings, accountability measures. We're obviously not going to try and do that in the next 2 hours. What I'd like to do is begin by posing some questions to the group. And yeah, I have to just accept that I'm really uncomfortable having my back to you. That's not normal, so for me, that's really unusual, so I want to apologize. It feels really rude. I'll try and spin around periodically.
Normal for us.
That's a shame. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to pose some questions to the group. And what I'm looking for here is if we can articulate as a body, as a governing body, where we have alignment and where we don't. Because really, it's that division around the alignment that'll prevent us from selecting strategies that we can move forward with. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
All right. And what I'm going to ask people to do, because there's 20 people around this table, is I'm going to ask them to be succinct and brief. And in that way, power, I know. But still be really honest and share with me their impressions. And I'm going to, I think I'm going to start with the chair and put the pressure on the chair. That seems fair. To answer this question.
I'm the chair, but I'm also the interim executive director.
Okay.
You still want me to start? Okay.
Well, and I'll pose the question. The question is, if you can share in a few words, or one or two sentences maximum, your personal take, your gut response to where the organization is and how it's positioned in the marketplace.
I think it needs to be turned around. We have extremely valuable assets in terms of staff, in terms of both paid and unpaid, in terms of our very strong signals and licenses, in terms of the markets that we're in. But we have lost market share. We've lost listenership. We've lost membership. So we need to be. We need a turnaround.
Okay. So what I just heard is, we need to turn around, which tells me you think that you're trending in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to move that way, to my left, which is very normal for me. So we'll move to my left. Sir?
He doesn't count.
Richard's
you're just
secretary.
A clerk?
He doesn't really
You don't have a board seat?
No.
Okay, I still want to know what you think. I'll ask you later.
What was the question again?
The question is, in a few words, one or two sentences max, where do you feel this organization is, or how do you feel it's positioned?
I think that we are positioned to be the leading voice, to be able to define really the left, where we have our president drifting to the center. I think that we're uniquely poised to take advantage of all those disenfranchised voters who went into that campaign thinking that he was going to be a radical, and he turned out not to be. So we're uniquely poised to take advantage of a unique situation. The question is, can we get beyond our bickering to be able to do that?
So what I heard is you feel like there's you're positioned with opportunity because of the environment that you find yourself in, but I heard some uncertainty about whether or not as a group you can move forward. Okay. See, I'm summarizing. I'm illustrating how short I want it.
Well, that's the same thing I was going to say. I mean, we spend a lot of time arguing with each other about things that I do think that this is a valuable exercise because whenever we do this kind of stuff, we find out that we really all agree on things. So I was just going to say that we need to stop fighting with each other and start fighting the world, saving the world. And
great. Thank you.
I would say that we have a wonderful opportunity to lead by example. As Wendy stated, a good many of us agree on a lot of things. It's just we want to end up in the same place. We just don't all agree how to get there. And as somebody said earlier today about bending, and I think that's a real important thing, learning how to compromise without compromising your ideals. So that's kind of where I see us.
That's great. And if I can add something, because what I heard there is I feel like the majority of us are going the same place but disagree on the pathway that we're going to follow. And that's interesting because in most nonprofits, the board's real responsibility is to articulate the place. You know, where they're going, where you're trying to get to. It's not to articulate the pathway. Normally, the pathway is articulated by management. So it's articulated by the people who work full-time kind of driving the bus, not the owners of the bus, so to speak. But that's maybe an interesting distinction here. Jim? James? Jamie? Sorry.
I missed the question.
That's okay.
I went back. Maybe Sean can go and I can go next.
Okay.
The network is in trouble, and our main failure is to expand our audience. An example of that is the missed opportunity in 2008 when we had the most unique political situation in modern presidential politics with a black man and a woman running. And we failed, both Pacifica and KPFK, where I'm from, to give good progressive analysis and expand our audience, which, if you look at our program policy, is the key objective of our program policy, to expand our audience. And we have failed our program policy year in and year out.
So you're articulating that audience expansion, audience management, and market share is really what's driving a broken business model, that you don't have more and more people listening.
In large part.
In
yes.
large part. Great.
I think we underestimate the position, the unique position we're in to formulate and influence political thinking, not just in the U.S., throughout the world. However, I think that we have too many square pegs in round holes, and there's a strong potential for corruption, and the far, you know, to suit the bending of the rules. And a very good example is when you ask Carl for his reaction, and everybody said he is a clerk, whereas on my board, we have a similar situation where somebody is unelected and has more power than some of us who were elected. As a matter of fact, he was one of the motivators of a motion to remove somebody from the board because he didn't like what that person was doing, and that's going to happen. So there's a lot of problems in this organization. I think we have to be honest politically and just go with objectivity rather than subjectivity most of the times.
Okay. What I heard there, what I'm going to really pull out of that, there's a lot of meat there, but I'm going to pull out this kind of concept that there's the opportunity for corruption, because I think that's very important to you. So I just want to make sure that that gets pulled out.
This board is one of the most powerful organizations in the communications industry. In this room, there's some very powerful and some very creative and some very innovative energy. That energy, in my opinion, is not realized. There's a lot of people here who could offer a lot more to the organization in terms of its direction, in terms of improving what could happen. And that's not happening yet. So my whole, if I'm to say that we're confused, yes. We're confused and we need directions in terms of how to somehow solidify our vision and get to a point where we can understand and move towards something that we all can buy into.
Great, thank you. Susan?
Yeah.
While you get that, I'm going to tell everyone I'm in mortal fear of causing feedback, so I'm, like, avoiding that.
just don't sing. I see two big issues. One is that we've got a big generational shift, and almost everybody around this table has gray hair. Technology is passing us by, content delivery, and we're kind of stuck in a 19th, 20th century framework, and I think that it can be very easy for us to become irrelevant. I mean, Jon Stewart's where I get my news. The other is that while the change in governance came from a terribly important issue, which was radio was drifting towards money rather than towards mission, nevertheless, governance has become sort of the thing. Mm-hmm. And the result of it is that we devote a boatload of the talent that Jim is talking about to basically these internecine feuds, and we have a heck of a hard time hiring, attracting, retaining, partnering with quality professional staff who understand radio.
Yeah, I hear that. I totally hear that.
We need to, as a group and as individuals, we need to have more personal training. And one of the things we need to learn, more so than anything else, is how to be objective, which will to make decisions based on being informed of fact, things of that sort, because I think that will help us to overcome factionalism and personal decisions or personal desires to be correct about what we're doing. But we need to become more familiar with the industry that we're in and contribute it more towards bringing about a solution, and keep in mind the central factor of who it is we're trying to serve and to what end. It's not ourselves personally, but the public out there who really want to know this information and want to get this information and deal with it.
Great. And can I just follow up and ask a question?
Yes.
Because I think you responded to my question by really focusing in on the board and right. the position of the board. So I'm guess I'm asking, you see the position of the board and their need for these things as really critical to the position of the whole right. organization.
Definitely.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir.
You asked about the marketplace, and I'm going to go around the barn a little bit with this. First of all, I want to associate myself with so many of the remarks I've heard. I think our key problem is that we have immense talent, immense resources, and we have no focus for them. And that is the failure of this governance body to give them focus. I think they're all out there doing absolutely the best they can with absolutely no guidance to get there. We need to find our edge again, and we need to connect up with our listeners again. And I think those are two very key things that we have just abandoned at this point.